Need thee every hour I need thee. See if I can speak up a little bit and get over the top of that chainsaw going out there this morning. Would you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, please? For those who may be tuning in the first time on our recordings, we're going through the book of God, looking at divine declarations, godly declarations. In our first study, we looked at God's word and where he declares it to be his word, the word of God. There's no argument to that. If you don't believe that this is the word of God right here, then you're in the wrong place. This is a letter that God sent to his loved ones, to his children, about what his son has done for them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we looked at this God who is spoken of in this book is God. God declares himself to be God. Not some God, not a God, not some wannabe God, but the God. Ruler over everything. If he doesn't rule over everything, he doesn't deserve the title God. This morning, I'd like to look at the divine declaration that all mankind are spiritually dead. Or another way to put it, totally depraved. Are you with me in Genesis chapter 2? Let's begin at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I want you to notice that God's word says, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Yes, sir. He did not say if. That's because he's God. He knows all things. There's no such thing as if. Amen. It is or it is not. He knows all things. This fall that Adam took was not a surprise. It was not something that caught God off guard. He didn't have to go to plan B. All things are purposed by the one who made all things. Well, you might say, wait a minute, John. You telling me that God created mankind knowing that they would sin against him? That's right. He knows everything. He knew everything before anything was ever made. That's exactly right. Either God is in complete control over everything in this universe, or he is not God and we are wasting our time. Well, then you might say, why would God create something that would fall from his grace? Turn over to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. The earth, the heavens, and all that is was created for one reason. One reason only, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God manifest in the flesh. Are you in Colossians? Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, or powers, or anything else you can think of. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He holds everything up. Everything. If God left it right now, it would just collapse on itself. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Amen.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You don't need to turn there, but in Micah 7:18 it says, "Who is God? Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy."
Yes, sir.
Our Lord delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast shown, that which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. You see, without sin, there'd be no reason for his mercy. The God of Scriptures delights in showing his mercy to his people. I need thee every hour. Why? Because I need it. I need his mercy. I know that if he leaves me to myself, where I will go, I'll go right back to where I was before.
Yes, sir.
Thinking that I'm somebody. Thinking that I'm something. Oh, how quickly I can do that right now. We pray for this group of people in San Diego. For the one who stood in the pulpit. But for the grace of God. There go each and every one of us.
That's right.
Lord, as Pastor Gene said a few moments ago, Lord, keep us. Do not let us go. But notice in verse 20. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I just told you not to turn there. But notice what it said in verse 20 of Micah 7. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham. Specifically two people, huh? There's a lot of people who walked the earth at those times. A lot of people. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. God the Father gave God the Son a people. He speaks of a particular people here in these verses, Jacob and Abraham, a people to be with him for all eternity. Yet this people, these people, are sinners, as all mankind are. For all have sinned and come short of his glory. All who come into this world are dead in trespasses and sin. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 37 if you would. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from this morning's scripture reading. Our Lord does things in wondrous ways. He led our dear brother this morning to read for the first time, Garrett, in the men's meeting. And what a blessing it was to hear him read these words. But allow me to share just a portion of it from Romans 8 in verse 6, where it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." See the people he's talking about here? "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken..." Give life to the dead. "Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." God's people are no different than all else who have walked this earth except for one thing. That very one thing, and he shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people. That's our only difference. Because of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. I deserve exactly what every person who goes to hell will get. But God loves to show mercy to his people. Salvation is of the Lord. You see, dead men, they can't do anything. In fact, we come into this very life hating his truths. Again, you don't need to turn there, but in John 3:19 it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light," speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is that light, "because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved."
Yes, sir.
Those Jews, those righteous, religious people, in their own minds, crucified our Lord Jesus Christ because the light shined on their wicked deeds. Lazarus was dead. Stinking dead. He did not make a decision. God didn't ask him. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't ask him, "Hey, Lazarus, you want to come on out of there now? Or you want to come back later?" No, Lazarus came forth. Did you know that he came forth in his death robes? He was bound. He was all wrapped up. They do that to keep you from smelling bad. He was all wrapped up. And the Lord said, "Come forth." And he came forth. The one who has all power brought him forth. Just as he does with every one of his people. And then under the preaching of his gospel, remove his wrappings. Unbind them. Take the shackles of sin off of my person, off of my son, off of my daughter. Lazarus was dead, stinking dead. Yet he did not make a decision whether to live or stay dead. He came forth. No, the Son of God commanded him, "Lazarus, come forth." He commanded the sun to shine in those dead bones, in our dead bones. Are you with me in Ezekiel? Let's begin at verse 1. "The hand of the Lord was upon me," Ezekiel wrote, "and carried me out into the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones." Oh, how I love to hear this, because that's exactly how I see myself. Bones. Lord showed me I'm nothing but dried up bones. "And caused me," speaking again of himself, "caused Ezekiel to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." I remember Pastor Don Fortner one time speaking on that. It's not just dry. I mean, you can go out into the desert and find a bone somewhere and it dry, brittle dry. It's more than that even. It's dry as you can be. "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones. Preach the gospel. Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Well, if you're deaf, you're not going to hear. God has to give you ears to hear.
That's right.
"Hear, O ye dry bones, the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring and will bring a flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them from above, and there was no breath in them. And then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. Interesting. Thus saith the Lord God. The Lord God commanded once again. And what happens? What happens? Thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he, God Almighty, said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will open the dead. I will give life to those who are dead. And cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. God declares the hearts of men to be desperately wicked. We can do nothing of our own. We are totally depraved. We need one who gives life. We need the one who provided himself a sacrifice for our sins. We need the one whose blood was shed for our sakes. We need the one who has paid the price of justice in full for us. We need the one who bought and paid for us with his own precious blood. We need the one who walks by us in our filth and our bloody condition and says, live. We need Jesus. Oh Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I am undone. Do not pass me by. Let's go to Mark chapter 10 for a moment. Let's go to Mark chapter 10 and I'll bring this to a close. Beginning at verse 45. Our Lord is speaking, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. Doesn't say all, many. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with him, with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have you cried that out yet? Has the Lord brought you to a point where you know you need him every hour? In our prayers, Pastor, do we not cry out, Lord, have mercy on me. Do not let this flesh stand before your people. And many charged him, verse 48, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He didn't ask. God commands. And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Be not afraid, folks. Yes, we are weak in the flesh. Yes, we need him every hour, but he's there. I shall never leave you nor forsake you, he says. That's a declaration. That's a commandment. If you're his, he shall never leave us. He calleth thee, verse 50, and he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith, the faith that God gave him, the gift of the Lord, to believe the Lord's word, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Dead men can't do that. He who gives life to all things must come and give life to his people. Oh Lord, give your life today to one of yours, that they might hear your word for the first time. Our Lord declares us to be dead in trespasses and sin, but he also declares that those sins have been paid for. The sins of his people have been paid for. There is now no condemnation. Exactly what you read this morning to those that are in Christ. My Savior.